If you would, today, I'm going to do the offering. If you just turn your Bible with me to Malachi chapter 3. Yes, it's offering time. We can rejoice in it. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to depend on just our blood, sweat, and tears to make it in this life. He does care about us financially, so we want to give him honor. Like the Lord was saying today, if you'll humble yourself under his hand, he wants to lift you up. If you'll honor him, he'll honor you. That's another scripture in Proverbs. But if you look in Malachi chapter 3, you're like, oh, Brian, you're going to choose that same old Malachi. Well, I'm looking at the Message Bible. So maybe if you don't have the Message, don't look too deeply at yours, okay? So I'll read to you from the Message Bible. But today I want to encourage about four different types of people where you may be at today. Perhaps you are in a position where you want to get out of a financial mess, out of financial difficulty. You feel like you're living, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel just to make ends meet. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's where you are today. Or perhaps you're in a situation where you've been hearing about the message of tithing. You're hearing about honoring God with your increase, and you're thinking about it. Maybe you're not doing it yet, but you're thinking about it. You're thinking about tithing. And a tithe is 10% of the first fruits of our increase, right? So maybe you're in the third position here, and you're thinking about not tithing. You know, maybe you are, but, you know, you're not really not been in faith, and you're just thinking, does this really work? And, you know, and you're just thinking about, I'm not going to do it anymore. Or maybe you're in a position where you do it, and you do it regularly, and you would never stop because you know it works. So maybe you're in one of those categories right there. But I think number four is the best one to be in, just from my experience. But you believe, you've heard of tithing, you believe, you know Malachi chapter 3. But something you might not know, for those of you that are Bible scholars, is that during the time of Malachi, or Malachi, however you want to say it, if you're Italian, you know, that was a time when people weren't necessarily rich. You know, the Israelites weren't necessarily rich and super prosperous. They didn't have, like, massive influence throughout the world at that time. I mean, their temple wasn't really that big a deal at this point. But things were okay, you know? And, you know, they really didn't have too much care. And like I said, they weren't living high on the hog or anything like that. But, you know, things were okay. And when that happens in your life, and you're not going through a crisis, because, you know, if you're going through a crisis, like, everything matters, right? I mean, everything's amplified, right? And God's probably at the center of your focus because you're going through a crisis and you're just saying, get me out of here. I'll serve you. You ever done that? You know, I'll be a monk. I'll live in a monastery. I did that a few times back in the day. But, you know, when things are going well, you're just like, sort of God just goes to the peripheral. You know, he just kind of goes to the margins of your life. And this is about the time when Malachi was living. And so, you know, sometimes when you have a burden in your heart or a passion in your heart and you just want to do something, you might just get up and shout. Well, Malachi just had this burden in his heart. He's like, these people are too comfortable. Does that kind of sound like today's society? Maybe I'm a little too comfortable. You know, things are going okay. You know, I'm not going through a crisis. You know, I'm not super successful maybe, but, you know, it's easy to coast through life when you're going through that. Maybe you forget about your dreams and your goals and you just keep kind of coasting. Well, Malachi wanted to bring a little crisis to the situation, get them in a God crisis, and get them to focus back their attention on God. So this is a pretty strong message that he brings. But if you look in Malachi, I'll look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 for a second. It says, this is in chapter 1, verse 6, Malachi, isn't it true, this is the Message translation, isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his boss? It says master, but I put boss. It's a little more relevant today. So if I'm your father, where's the honor? If I'm your boss, where's the respect? That's in the Bible. It says it just like that. That's why I like the Message Bible. Do you get it? So if I'm your father, God, where's the honor? And in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, around verse 8, I believe, it says, honor the Lord with all with the first fruits of your increase, you know? Honor the Lord first. Put God first in your finances and your, I know you don't have vats of wine in a barn, but it says your vats will overflow, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Wow. Vats are big. You ever seen them? I've seen them in your wedding pictures, your reception at the winery, right? Those things are big. How'd you like to have that happen? So maybe you're struggling and you're wondering, where am I, Brian, you're asking me to tithe and give a 10% of my increase and I can't even meet my bills. Well, you know what? I relate. I can relate because I've been there. And when I first decided to start tithing, it was years ago. I was living in an apartment that was too expensive for me. I was living at the beach. Had to be a block from the beach, right? I have to check the surf and save gas, right? But yeah, I ended up actually renting out the rooms and getting one of those bunk beds so I could have it up over the couch. And that's all I could afford. I was like, hey, I'll pay for above the couch. Won't even sleep on the couch. I'll get one of them beds that goes above it. You ever seen those bunk beds? Knock out the bottom. But yeah, somehow they agreed. So I was poor, and I couldn't pay all my bills. And every time the offering went by, I thought, you know, okay, well, I took out a few bucks and I put it in. But as I began to hear about tithing and honoring God first and putting him first, if you really believe that he is God, that he can make a difference in your finances, show him with your faith. Put him first. Believe his word. Apply it. Maybe you're not sure, but you got to step out in faith at some point, you know? If you're going down, if the airplane's going down and you got a parachute in your back, at some point you better jump because otherwise it's not going to be any good if you wait too long, right? So you might be going down or you're saying, I just can't get ahead, or I want all that God has for me so I can do all that God wants me to do, because that's going to take money in your life. Because if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to make a difference in someone else's life, right? So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I couldn't pay out. I was always putting God at the very bottom. Oh, okay, a couple bucks here. And I couldn't even pay all my bills. So I said, you know what? I'm putting you first. Creditors last. You first, because you're more important, and I honor you. And I put God first. And just, I can't tell you, you know, the whole story, but I had a turnaround in a week, you know, and I was debt-free in a week. So I don't know if it's going to happen for you that way, but if you'll put God first, and then you got to kind of keep making wise decisions, because I've gone back in debt too. That's my, oh, you know, God will take care of me. I can make this dumb decision, you know. So, but if you'll put God first and ask for his wisdom, and you'll step out in faith, and you'll tithe or keep tithing, or say, you know what, I'm a tither. So Malachi chapter 3 says that he will bless you so much. Well, in the message it says, he'll open up heaven above you so much and pour out a blessing beyond your wildest dreams. So the dreams that you think you can't fulfill, he can do beyond those wildest dreams. And if it's money problems that you have to get to those dreams and fulfill those dreams and do what God really called you to do, then this is the way to do it. This is your principle for success.
Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand up? You'll think you're at the Baptist church. We'll get a little exercise this morning. Let's throw up both hands towards heaven. Father, we praise you. Lord, once again, thank you for this awesome opportunity to be together on Mother's Day. Lord, we're grateful for Mom. Father, thank you for all the mothers in this place. Lord, I thank you that your blessings on their life, your grace and favor and peace. Lord, where would we be without our mothers? Lord, we honor them today. May this whole day, this whole evening, Father, just be a blessing to them in way we all go out of here changed as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor for all these wonderful things happening in the Promised Church right here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for that nice introduction. Amen. God's good. Amen. I said, God's good, God. Amen. Somebody say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say it one more time. Say, I serve a good God. And his mercy endures forever. Turn to your neighbor. Say, God is good all the time. And his mercy endures for you forever. Amen. I know that's true. Where would we be without God's mercy? Amen. We'd be on our way to hell or already there. But thank God we're not. Amen. He was merciful to us, and his mercy extends to you forever. If I could get you to walk away today with one thing, is to not only know that God loves you, but no matter what you've done or what you do, his forgiveness is there for you. Amen. One of my mentors, he mentioned Brother Kenneth Hagin in a little mini book I've read many times on how to walk in love. He said, the greatest thing in the world is knowing that you're forgiven, no matter what. He said, the worst thing in the world is knowing that people are going to hell whose sins have already been forgiven. They just don't know how to accept it. Amen. The power of your belief is everything. Amen. What can you believe for? That what your expectation, what you're thinking about and what you're talking about is what directs your path every day. You know who taught me that? My mom. Amen. Mom, if you somehow got this CD and you're listening, I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. And I want to acknowledge my mother-in-law, Miss Lindsay. Thank you so much for letting me marry your daughter. Amen. And Andrew, of course, my father-in-law, good folks. But I thank God for my mom today. I wasn't going to do a themed sermon, but I thought, you know, Mother's Day only rolls around once a year, and it'd be a shame for me to show up as the guest minister and not acknowledge at least all the mothers. But I actually want to talk about my mom today, and I want to share with you several things. As we were worshiping God, some things came out of my heart that aren't in my sermon, and we'll get to my sermon quickly. But thank God for my mom. Amen. My mom is Louise Roberts. She gave birth to me March 23rd, 1978, while my father and her were going to Bible school, Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, my mom prayed over me years before I was ever even born. My mom was confessing the Word of God over me while I was in her stomach. My mom was claiming the power of God, the grace of God. She was calling me blessed even before she ever gave birth to me. My mom was speaking the Word of God. Amen. And that's scriptural. You know, I've been speaking the Word of God over my children since I was 8 years old. You say, that's kind of weird. Well, I'm just putting that thing in the future. Amen. I'm putting that Word of God over my children. And when my children are born, they're going to be born healthy. They're going to be born wealthy. They're going to be wise. They're going to be the smartest kids in their class. Amen. You say, how can you say that? I've been saying that since I was 8 years old. Amen. Speaking the Word of God changes everything. Yeah. Amen. Remember that man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, my servant, he's at the house and he's dying. And Jesus said, well, come on, let's go take care of it. And he said, Lord, I'm not even fit that you'd come under my roof. But if you'll speak the word only, he'll be healed. There's something about the spoken word of God. You want things to change in your life? You want things to change in your home? You want things to change in your church, for your marriage, for your children? Begin to speak what God says over them and they can't be refused. God's word has never once been denied. Amen. He'll always have his way. Either now or when Jesus comes, God's going to get what's his. Amen. That's how powerful his word is. Amen. That's good preaching, brother. Hallelujah. Sometimes I hear myself and just go, man, you're a good preacher. Amen. You know, another thing this morning, I'm already blessed. I love the music. I love your band. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. I tell you, you got the best sounding band in San Diego. I've been to a few other churches, and they need to come take some lessons, especially that drummer, man. That guy's hot up there. I thought that was Dave Matthews' drummer up there. Amen. With the hair. I like that hair, too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that shirt, too. I think you're supposed to sew that to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just got that in my spirit. Oh, hey. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad to go to a spirit-filled church? Yes. With spirit-filled people? You know, I was sitting there and we were worshiping the Lord. And when that tongue came forth, I thought, man, when was the last time you were in another church that not only maybe they spoke in tongues but didn't talk about it and actually released a tongue and gave the interpretation, actually flowed in that gift of the Spirit? Amen. You don't know how blessed you are today. Pastor Henry, if you're listening, and I hope you are, man, this is a good church. This is a solid church. If you're visiting today, I challenge you, come back. Don't base today on my message. You come back and hear that lady who's going to be here next week, and then you come back and hear the pastor. Something big is going on at the Promised Church. Amen. The Holy Spirit's doing something big in this church, and if you'll open up to it, he'll do something big in your life. I dare you next week to invite somebody. There's not too many spirit-filled churches in San Diego. Amen. A couple weak amens and a grunt. I'll work with that. That's all right. You know, one thing my mom taught me, and I'm gonna tell about five things, the five most important things. But I tell you, one freebie that my mom taught me was how to speak in other tongues. Amen. And you know who she got that? She got that from another famous mother named Mary. Look over at Acts chapter 1 for a minute. And I preached this. I got this from Pastor Tommy Barnett. This just came up in my spirit when we were worshiping God. And I'm on a mission today. You say, what are you on a mission? Well, one, I want to finish my sermon in time, but really, I just want to bless you. Amen. And there's only one real way to bless people, and that's to give them the Word of God in love. Amen. Unashamedly. And just say whatever God says to you. You can't go wrong with sharing your heart. Amen. And if you fill your heart with the Word of God, well, then you're automatically on the right track. Amen. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. You might as well speak good things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get an amen out of you before we get done here. You know, my mom learned about praying in other tongues as a mother from reading about Jesus, Mom. Now, I preached this in, I had a Catholic church. You say, you're a Catholic priest? No, but I lived in a Catholic city, and I started out with about 12 people in my church, and almost all of them came out of the Catholic church. Second service, we whittled that crowd down to 5. But we slowly built a church on Catholics. You know, one day I was at Pastor Tommy Barnett's in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said the Pope came to Phoenix years ago. And he said, you know, they had seen it, the staff had seen it, you know, months out. And they said, Pastor Tommy, the Pope's coming. What are we going to do? And he said, well, we got to use this. Man, you want to get around people who like this brother right here that are outreaching on the beach. You got to hang out with folks like that. You say, I'm not much on outreach. Hang out with people and you become like the people you hang around. This is a guy I want to hang out with. If he's out ministering on the beach, I want to get the boldness to go minister on the beach. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to get outside of myself. I want Jesus to be seen. How about you? But I was down there and Pastor Tommy, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, I'm gonna preach about the 5 things I love most about the Virgin Mary. And he said, they advertised it all over the newspaper and they had 500 Catholics show up at the service that day. And he said, I got, you know, preached the first 4 or 5 points. He said, when I got the final point, he said, I turned them to Acts 1, verse 14. And he said, it gave points, you know, she gave birth to Jesus. I love that. She gave birth to our Savior. And Mary was a good mom and went through all these different things. He said, but the thing I love most about the Mother Mary is she was filled with the Holy Spirit and she spoke in other tongues. And he said, when I said that, the whole place went dead silent. You know, I took that to my church. I took that back home to my Catholic city. I did the same thing. Just within a couple of months, I couldn't wait to do it. I advertised in the newspaper about that big in a column paper that was only that big. And so we advertised real big. I said, this next Sunday, I'll be preaching on the 5 things I love about the Virgin Mary. Don't miss it. You know, that morning when I got around to my final point that Mary was a tongue talker, she flowed with the gifts of the Spirit. She got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and it radically changed her life, and she had power all of a sudden that she didn't have before. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus promised. He said, ye shall receive power or ability from God that you did not have after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall then be witnesses, like Pastor Brian, unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You want more power in your life? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, Joe, I'm just hoping to smile tomorrow. Listen, it's power to smile for you. The Holy Ghost can put a smile on your face that no amount of money could ever put. Why? Because He knows how to get the money at the places where the money's getting. He knows how to get you the job and get you the stuff. People come up to me all the time and say, man, will you pray with me? The economy and we've lost our stuff and I'm going through a divorce. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and it'll change everything. Ephesians said, the perfect will of the Lord today. Don't be unwise, but understand what the perfect will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where is the next says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I tell you, God's got a desire that His people would not, the Amplified says, that you be being filled. Thank God you got a church today and a pastor today that fills you up constantly with the Word of God, that bears witness with that Holy Spirit. And every Sunday and every Wednesday and whenever you meet, And he brings preachers in like me that are full of the Holy Ghost. And every time you come together, you can grab that thing you need for the week and go back to your job and go back to your home and go back to your kids and back to your family and back to your marriage different. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is that good and he's that powerful. Amen. My mom learned that and she passed that on to me. She used to say over her stomach, she'd say, "My son, Joey," they thought, actually, it was my son, Rebecca, or my daughter, Rebecca. She thought I was a girl. She said, my baby will be filled with the Holy Ghost. My baby will never fear or never worry. My baby is full of God. You know, that's what God thinks about you. When God looks at you, all he sees is Jesus. He looks at you and sees wonderful. He looks at you and sees blessing. You say, "I'm not a blessing. I'm not wonderful. I've done nothing good." If you've received Jesus, all he sees is good today. That forgiveness is so wonderful. You match that up with the infilling of the Holy Ghost and you can go and do anything. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm fired up today. "Ye shall receive that power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you." Verse 14 says, "These all continued in one accord and in prayer." The previous verses go down through a list of people. "These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was numbered with them and with his brethren." The next page in Acts chapter 2, it says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they," all of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, "were all together in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And if you read through that chapter, like I've done so many times, all of them came out of that room different. Why? Because they had a power they did not have. What power was it? Acts 1:8, we just read it. The power of the Holy Ghost, when it comes upon you, you'll receive that power. When it comes upon you, power to what? To do whatever you need to do. If you're feeling drained, like Pastor Brian said, by the Holy Spirit, man, begin to pray in other tongues and stir yourself up. If you're feeling down, start your day, end your day, praying in the Spirit and worshiping God and singing praises. I'm telling you, stirring yourself up. I like what Brother R.W. Schambach used to say. He said, "You ain't got no problems. All you need is faith in God." I tell you, that Holy Spirit, he can stir you up. And Paul said, "He knows how to pray, how I don't know how to pray." Man, when you don't even know what to pray for, you begin to shame basta gains agiliana mana dole. What are you doing? "I'm praying in tongues." Why? Because I don't even know how to pray over this thing, but he knows how to pray. What am I doing? I'm releasing power on my behalf. I'm turning something loose that wasn't loose in my life before. Amen. The five most important things my mom taught me. Look at Matthew 6. How many glad they came today? I'm so glad I'm sweating about it. I better loosen up. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Loosen up. You look too tight." Amen. Jesus said, so it's in red letter, you know this is good. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Number one, if you were taking notes, and in my old church we used to say, and you should be. Number one, mom taught me how to eat the breakfast of champions. Yeah. You know, you actually stirred that up, that first message you left on my phone, and then the email you sent. I don't know if you call everybody champion, but your brother here, your pastor here, keeps calling me champion. At first, I didn't know how to feel about that. I thought, why does he keep calling me champion? But you know what? It bore witness with my spirit. Yeah. It's good that we know who we are in Christ. Right. Man, he paid the price so you could be an overcomer and more than a conqueror. You are a champion. Yeah. Isn't that great to be around people who recognize what's on the inside of you? Turn to your neighbor and hit him good in the arm and say, "You're a champion." Champion. Turn to somebody else and say, "You can do anything." Why are you doing this? Because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. You need to hear who you are. Parents, tell your children every day, like my parents told me, you can go anywhere and you can do anything. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. Every day before I got out of my folks' car, we had different routines every morning, Monday to Monday. It wasn't just Monday through Friday. We didn't quit on God on the weekends. Amen. But every day when I got dropped off to school, whether I was in a good mood, whether we had just had a falling out, my parents would look at me and say, Joey, what are you? I'd say, I'm a winner, Dad. And I didn't get out of that car. If I got out, they'd say, nope, get back in the car. Why? It was so important to them to know that I knew who I really was. You say, what's that? What's the big deal about that? I said it so much that today I believe it. Today I believe I can do anything. I believe what Brian says about me. I'm a champion, and I'm going somewhere to happen, and my steps are ordered of the Lord. I believe those things that I've said. You say, well, good for you. You believe what you've been saying. What you've been saying. Check up on what you believe about yourself. That's what you've heard. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word. You feed a thing on the inside. You hear something long enough? Parents, how do you train up your children? Tell them they're a champion. Every day. You know, you can take a three-year-old and you can tell him, you're awesome, like that little guy. What's it, Bryce? You can tell Bryce every day, man, you are a born winner. You're an overcomer. He may not even know how to talk yet. He may not even know what that means, but you say it and say it and say it and say it and say, Bryce, you're awesome. Man, you're good looking. Oh, you're sharp. And you fill him with confidence based on God's word. That's what God's saying about you. It may not be chapter and verse, but God believes the best about you. And you say it and say it and say it. Now you could take that same kid and you can say, you're a lousy good for nothing. You're going nowhere. You're lost. You'll never make it. You know what? They'll grow up believing another way. Listen, I don't know what your mother said over you or your father said over you. But no matter whether it was good or bad, you can begin to say over you and change your own plan and change your own destiny. And you can let God get a hold of your tongue and yield that member to him and say, Lord, I will fill my mouth with good things, your word. You can change everything. Are you here today?
Yes.
My mom taught me to eat the breakfast of champions. What is the breakfast of champions? It's that meal of God's word that overcomers and more than conquerors, believers, eat every morning first thing. Don't start your day. Don't go to work naked. I'll let that settle in for a minute. Paul talked about a special coat of armor that we wear as believers. If you didn't know it, the Gospels were written to the unbeliever. Amen. Thank God for them. It enticed us to be saved. But there are books written to you as a believer, the epistles. And Paul said in one of those to you and I, he said, hey, you clothe yourself in the armor. And he described what it was, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth. Carry the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Some folks have been going to work naked their whole life. Listen, we're tired of seeing your private parts. You got to cover those things up. How do I do it? Do I just put on a show? No, you put on the word. The breakfast of champions is all about dressing yourself with the word of God and saying first thing. Man, you say, well, I already have to get up. There's not one person that gets up earlier than I do in this place. Feels good to say that. I have a little pride about that. When I start work tomorrow at 4:15, I'll be thinking about you. We're just going to jump right into this, right through this here. Number two, Mom taught us how to have and build a personal relationship with God. Turn to John 1:1. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. Thank God for that. There's been times in my life where I was down and depressed, and God's word still said the same thing. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can do anything. Speak to the mountain and it'll move. Amen. It still reads the same. It doesn't change to fit my situation, but if I use it, it will change my situation to fit it. Speak the word only. Turn to your neighbor and say, speak the word only. That spoken word in your mouth changes everything. Mom taught us how to have and build a personal relationship with God. How do I do it? Well, if God and his word were one and he doesn't change, God and his word are one. I cannot have a relationship with God outside of his word. You want to get to know God better? Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. You want to get God in your day? Start your day out with God. You say, I do. What are you doing? Some folks say, well, I say, thank you, Lord, for a great day. That's good. That's a start. But I tell you, 5 minutes of reading the scriptures, 5 minutes, I have these cheat sheets, these little books. I brought some with me. These are little confession books. One by Brother Hagin. It's that big. Now, that's small. I mean, you can put that in your pocket. That can go with you on your lunch break. I mean, nobody even has to see it. And I got this other one. This one's a little bigger. It's actually 4 books in 1. But when I started able to read, I don't know how old you are when you can read. 5 years old, 6 years old. From the day I was able to read, my parents put these in my hands. And they said, Joey, in the back of this book, there's 5 pages of scriptural confessions. Now, your assignment from now until forever is Monday to Sunday. Every morning, if we ask you, we want to know that you read these and you said these out loud. Now, I didn't even know what they meant. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were made whole. I didn't even know that was in Isaiah, but it says it right there. Now, I said those things in King James Version growing up, and they didn't make sense to me until I needed it. Man, 1 John 4:4, ye of God, little children, have overcome them, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I didn't even know what that meant, going to children's church at 6, 7 years old. But the first time I needed, and I was up against a wall of fear, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, even as a little kid, spoke up, said, I'm greater in you than this. I used to be afraid of the dark till I was 12 years old. And the greater one would speak up every time fear would try and come upon me. My parents would say, listen, say it. What's God saying? What's he say? What did we put in you? I had filled myself with the word. You know, the scriptures in these books became my relationship with God. I've gotten to know God wonderfully. You can see it in the woman in the red dress up here. I've gotten to know God real good.
Amen.
Amen. The word of God will cause you to hook up with the right people. He'll lead you in the right pathway. In your pathway will be light and no death. No evil will befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. With long life, you'll satisfy him and show him your salvation. You'll begin to bless the Lord, O my soul. You'll forget not all his benefits. Amen. He forgives all your iniquities. He's your healer. What is that? That's just the word of God. You can have a relationship. My mom taught us how to have a relationship by his word. I never questioned God. I never questioned if he's glad about something, if he's happy for me. I never questioned if he's for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Man, there's something he said over everything in my life. How do we have a relationship with him? By his word. I never questioned my wife's love or her integrity. Why? Because she's told me. And I believe what she says. She told me in front of your pastor just recently that she would commit herself, spirit, soul, and body, to me. Pray for me. That's a lot of, you know, pressure. She said in front of your pastor, I'll honor you. She even wrote it in a special vow. Do you want to get up and do our vows one more time, baby? But we made commitment. You know why I have faith, complete trust in her? Because she said it. And I believe what she said. Listen, you can put your trust in what God says even if people have let you down. He'll never let you down. His word is good as gold, and you can build a relationship based on a foundation of His word. Can you say a good amen? Amen. There is no knowing God outside of His word. You can't get to know Him outside of His word. Number three, Mom taught us how to live by faith. Turn to Romans. Romans 1. How many glad they're in church today and not the hospital? How many glad they're in church today and not visiting someone in the hospital? How many glad they're not in jail today? Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Everyone say faith to faith.
Faith to faith.
God's calling you to go from faith to faith and glory to glory, not mess up to mess up and failure to failure and cuss word to cuss word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even the Baptists had to say amen on that. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Who's the just? Wave your hand at me. Amen. The just shall live by faith. How are we supposed to live?
By faith.
How do we live by faith? Amen. The just are supposed to live. Mom taught me how to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, we don't take time to turn there, but it says, without faith, it's not possible to please God. If you want to get God on a case, you want to get God in a matter, get His word in the matter, because He and His word are one. To not have God's word on the scene is to not have God on the scene. I've had so many people, you know, when you pastor a church, people want prayer, and we pray all the time. I remember one specific time when I was traveling at my father's church, a lady came up and she was visiting. And she said, I want prayer for this particular thing. And I've been believing God. And it came up in my heart and I said, man, what do you believe? She said, well, I just believe God. I said, but how and what does that mean? She never even thought about it. She heard somebody else say they believe God, so she started saying, I believe God. It's a good confession. But that's not enough just to say, I believe God. What do you believe about God? Yeah. To not have His word in a situation is to not have Him in that situation. Yes. And I said, now, concerning your healing, what do you believe? She said, well, I believe I'm supposed to be whole. I said, well, that's good. But what does God have to say about it? And I took 2 minutes. That's usually all it takes to fill somebody's heart with faith if they're open and they're hungry and you're willing to do it. I said, ma'am, Philippians 4:19 says He'll supply all your needs. 1 John 4:4 says He's the greater one in you. He's bigger than this cancer. 1 Peter 2:24 says He took stripes upon His back for you. Isaiah 53:4-5 says the same thing. Galatians 3:13 says you're redeemed from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and death. And I filled her with faith. I said, now what do you believe? She said, I believe I'm healed because 1 Peter 2:24 says it. I said, you're on it. What do you believe? She said, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of law. She began to say it and got excited. In about 2 minutes, she got what she said. She believed it. Man, when you believe it, you've got it. Yes. To not have His word in a situation is to not have Him in that situation. Don't fool yourself. You could spend years thinking you're believing God and not have His word on a situation, and you've been duped. You say, well, doesn't God want to do something? Of course He does, but He set up laws and principles and rules. And He gave us a whole book on how to get Him involved. He said, put me in remembrance of my word, of what I said. Lord, I love that He's our dad because then we can talk straight with Him. If He was our, you know, if we were His slaves, we'd have to talk different, but we can talk straight eye to eye with Dad. Amen, let Him become your dad. I can say, Lord, now You said in Your word, this or that, over my money, over my children, over my marriage. You said this. I like what the pastor said this morning, talking about honoring God with your substance. Anytime there's lack in your life, if you're a tither and a giver, you remind God of what He said and watch it come in. Yes. Fill your mouth with what He loves to hear His own word. You can make a demand on Him to honor His word if you're obedient to His word. Yes. You can say, Lord, now I'm a tither. You said in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Lord, open those windows, pour it out, because I'm a tither. What am I doing? My prayer went from just a prayer of doubt now to a prayer of faith. It changes everything. He wants to hear his word. Number four, are you still here? Yes. Mom taught me that living by faith meant forever saying goodbye to doubt and unbelief. Can't be in both at once. Look at James 1. How many glad they came? Amen. Who will give me 3 more minutes? Okay, 3, 6, 9, 12. Oh, I got plenty of time. Please put your hands down. James 1, verse 6. But let him ask of God in what? Faith, nothing wavering. You can get to a place in your life and believe in God that nothing wavers. When you go to God, you can make a demand knowing he heard you, and it's on its way right then. You can get to a place in your prayer life when you pray, there's nothing wavering. We're not hoping any longer. We believe. You say, how do I get there? These same, I know it's not fancy what I'm talking about, but you start your day with the word, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself in the middle of the day in a situation, and that word that you started with will regurgitate and spring up out of you, and it'll bring you stability when everybody else in the room is freaking out. When there is talk about layoffs and cutbacks, you started off with stability, and it's grown in you. And when they're talking over lunch about who's next to be fired, you can go, hey, everything's gravy here. Why? Because if it's time to move on, God's got a bigger, better, more profitable, better benefits. I'm getting promoted today. Thank you for 3 amens. God bless you. Mom taught me that living by faith means forever saying goodbye to doubt and unbelief. He said, let him ask of God in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's no reason for us as believers to be unstable in anything. Just speak the word. Fill your mouth with what he said. Get stable. Amen. Be stable. Stay stable. Let the word of God be your stability. And finally, number 5. Everyone say, thank God for my mom.
Thank God for my mom.
Mom taught us how to stand and be strong in the Lord. How to stand and be strong in the Lord. And let the word of God alone be the stability. My mother taught us as kids how to put all our eggs in God's basket. Listen, I'll end with this. Faith is putting all your eggs in one basket and no backup plan. As long as there's a backup plan, you left an egg out. In Hebrews 11:6, God's not pleased with that. He wants all of them. He wants you to throw caution to the wind and go on his word alone. I love what your pastor's doing. I don't even know what he's doing. I know he's in the Philippines. You know how many pastors I know that used to go to the Philippines and used to go to China and used to go to Africa, but because of economic times, they've pulled back from their missions plan. They stopped believing God and sowing seeds in foreign lands, and they've pulled back that finances and put it back into themselves and put it back in their own thing. They stopped sowing seed. That was the thing that cut off the church flow. I love that in these economic times, when everyone else is freaking out, your pastor is booking tickets to go overseas to preach the gospel, to set the captives free. There's something gutsy about that. There's something good about that. What's he doing? He's ensuring the safety, the flow, and the direction of the Holy Ghost for this place. By him going out like he is and sowing seed in foreign lands, what happens when you sow seed? Luke 6:38, you cannot give and it not be given unto you. He's sowing seed today on your behalf, on the behalf of your future. Man, I think that deserves an applause. Yeah. Amen. Faith is not pulling back. There is no resistance. Faith is like an eagle. It stares into the storm and goes through it. Faith rises above. Faith has no backup plan. It puts God's word to the test and says, I'm living by this. What you said, and I put all my eggs in the basket. The enemy will come along and try and put doubt on you. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he can't devour you. Why? Because all my eggs are in God's basket and he's taking care of me. I hide myself in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I've got all my eggs in his basket. I have no backup plan. And it's not based on anything that I can see or feel. It's based on his word alone. No matter what happens with the gas prices, your car will be filled with plenty. No matter what happens on the job, if they decide to close the doors on the company, you will be sustained and taken care of. No matter what the government says, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the lawyer says, no matter what the banker says, no matter what the loan officer says, no matter what anyone says, his word stands supreme. But will it stand supreme in you? It will if you put it first place. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's throw up both hands. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we bless you and honor you today. Lord, we put our trust in your word alone. Thank you that you meet every need, pay every bill. Lord, we throw caution to the wind today. Thank you for moms in this place, that they're blessed. Lord, I thank you for praying mothers that aren't ashamed or afraid to pray and pray the will of God and pray the plan of God down. Thank you, Lord, for our moms today. Lord, bless them. Oh, honor them today. Put money in their pocket, shopping money. Amen. Yeah. Lord, bless them to overflowing. May every need in this place be met, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, there may be somebody here today that this is all foreign material. My time might be freaking them out. I don't know. Lord, I thank you that you meet every need. I couldn't possibly meet any need in this place, but you can. So, Lord, I thank you. You speak to hearts and speak to minds, and this is going to be a great week. In Jesus' name, this is going to be a great week. Yes. Tomorrow's going to be better. Yes. Tomorrow's going to be better for you. Your job's going to get better. Things are changing. Things are looking up for you. Promotion's coming. Blessings are in your future. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to what he said. Lord, thank you that you just supply. You're the supplier. You're the supplier, and we turn to you as our supply. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this place, nobody looking around, we're almost done. My time's up. But if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know about this supply. He's an endless supply. Maybe you're down. Maybe you're broken. Maybe you're upset. Maybe you're mad. I don't know. Maybe you did just get laid off. Maybe you did just lose a house. I lost one 3 years ago. But you know what? God restores. There was a time in my life not that long ago I lost everything, everything. But God has restored everything. It's so much better than what I ever had before. Me and my wife were talking last night about how good we got it. Never thought it could be this good. You know, when you're going through a struggle or a circumstance, you can't see how good it really is or how good it's going to be. All you can see is what's in front of you. Listen, don't be blinded. My God is real and he's big and he's big enough to take care of you. All he wants is a chance. If you're here today and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, you've never committed anything to God, you've never invited him to come, he's never had a chance with you. If you'd like to give God a chance today, you say, Joey, pray for me. I want to receive that power. I want to receive Jesus. You lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you and I won't even bring you down front. But if you slip your hand up, you say, I'm not saved. I have no relationship with God, but you'd like to lift your hand up just long enough for me to see it. Anybody? It's the most important decision anyone could ever make. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it looks like we're all family today. You can open your eyes. Turn to your neighbor. We'll just exercise this. Say, are you born again? Just ask him. Amen. Be bold. Say, have you made Jesus their Lord? Your Lord. If they can't say yes, ask them if they'd like to come down here. Amen. Praise God. Everyone saved? Everything good? Amen. Well, I've had a fun time. Brian, thank you. It's been great. Pastor Henry, thank you. Mom, thank you. I love you guys. Look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Have a great Mother's Day. Amen. Thank you.